Thank you for taking the time to watch this message. My name is Ronnie Rothy. I'm the lead pastor at Relevant Community Church. At Relevant, our goal is to make faith practical in order to help you be more transformed into everything God's created you to be. It's our hope that something from this message inspires and empowers you to take a next step to follow Jesus. Thanks again for joining us, and I hope you enjoy this message. Well, welcome to part five of this series that we've called Follow Me. Before I dive into what we're talking about today, I just want to let you know a few things that you're never going to hear me say. First thing you never hear me say is that we're going to church, referring to what we do on Sunday morning, or calling our building the church. Hey, I'll meet you at the church. And by the way, my family, that drives them crazy, but every single time they say something like that, I correct them with, the church is not a people. Or excuse me, the church is not a building. The church is not an event. The church is a people. I mean, I do it every single, because according to Jesus, the church is not a building. It's not a Sunday morning event. The church is us. It's a people. So when, you know, anyone's ever like, I'm going to church, you can't go to church because we are the church. And my family that drives it, this is where our church gathers. You know, that's the building our church owns. I correct them every time. And our paid staff, I correct them every time too. They hate me, but they work for me, so they can't do anything about it. The second thing you'll never hear me say is referring to people who have put their faith in Jesus, calling us Christians or believers. You'll never hear me refer to us that way. And you never hear me refer to us that way because Jesus never used those words. I mean, what does it even mean to be a Christian? You can define it any way you want. When you say I'm a believer, like believer in what? Like, what does that even mean? And so I refer to those of us who have put our faith in Jesus as followers of Jesus. And here's why. Because Jesus didn't call us to be believers or behaviors. He invites us to be his followers. Throughout the Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all about the accounts of Jesus' life, the one phrase that Jesus continually used to invite people into a relationship with him was not believe, it was not behave, it was not do, it was not don't. It was follow me. Follow me. And it's so interesting. The word that many people associate with God, Jesus, the Bible, church, faith, is the word religion. But Jesus associated with why he came with the word relationship. Listen, God didn't create humanity. He didn't create me. He didn't create you for a religion. He didn't create us to pursue a list of right things to believe or behaviors to do. He created us for a relationship with him. Our violation of sin against him broke that relationship. Jesus came, Jesus died on the cross, Jesus rose from the grave to restore and redeem and reconcile that broken relationship in this life and in the next. Bottom line, Jesus has invited you and to me into a saving and growing relationship with him, characterized by the phrase, follow me. Not a cheap version of it called religion. So the two questions that I'm challenging all of us to wrestle with throughout this series is first, have I accepted Jesus' invitation to follow me? Following Jesus starts with entering into a saving relationship with Jesus by putting our faith in Jesus, by asking Jesus to be the forgiver of our sins, our Savior, and declaring that we want to follow him as the leader of our lives, as our Lord. For those of you who haven't done that, but if today you feel ready to put your faith in Jesus, I'm actually going to give you an opportunity to do that before we go. For those of us who have put our faith in Jesus, we've asked Jesus to be the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life. The question that we're wrestling with throughout this series is, am I following Jesus? Not, do you believe all the right things? Not, do you behave all the right ways? Not, are you religious? Not, are you a good person? Not, do you call yourself a Christian or call yourself a believer, but are you currently engaged in the active process of following Jesus? Your and my answer to this question is so important because with every next step we take to follow Jesus, we grow in our relationship with Jesus. And the more we grow in our relationship with Jesus, the more he transforms us into everything that God's created us to be. And the more transformed we are, the more we experience God's power and God's presence in our lives. Now today, we're going to talk about something that you may not have even known existed. And that is the fine print. in any contract, in anything big that you decide to get yourself into, being a homeowner, marriage, college, a job, a loan, there's the benefits of what you get, and then there's some fine print. And most people start following Jesus because of how they believe it will benefit them. And there's some huge benefits of following Jesus. You'll forgive people more. You'll be more generous. You'll worry less. You'll be a better father, wife, student, friend, leader. You'll be more trustworthy. You'll avoid avoidable pain and regret. You'll be like a person who builds their house on the rock instead of sand, so when the storms of life come, you'll be able to stand firm in a way that other people aren't able to. But you need to know there's some fine print in following Jesus as well. Some fine print that may cause those of you who are considering putting your faith in Jesus to reconsider. Some fine print that if you aren't aware of is just going to completely catch you off guard later. And when it does, it can derail you from following Jesus, thus preventing you from experiencing the benefits of following Jesus. And I'm just going to just tell you right away what the fine print is. Here it is. Following Jesus will eventually cost you something. You've got to know that at some point, following Jesus is going to cost you something. And it's in that moment that you're going to have to make the choice if you're going to be a consumer of Jesus or a follower of Jesus. And you will choose one, but you cannot choose both. And that choice in that moment has bigger implications than you can possibly imagine. That choice in that moment not only impacts our relationship with Jesus, it impacts the health, the transformation, and the destiny of your soul. At least according to what Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark chapter 8. In Mark 8, Jesus realized that most people who had been hanging around him were just consumers who were in it for the benefits, but they weren't necessarily followers. So Jesus stopped to do a little teaching that not only explains the fine print of following him, but opens the door to some big life questions that actually every person has to wrestle through. So here's how the story goes. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked him, "Who do people say I am?" So Jesus knows there's a buzz going on around about him. And so he asks his 12 disciples, who we now call the 12 apostles, you know, his team, his crew, his closest friends. He says, "Guys, what are you hearing about who people say that I am?" And by the way, I do not recommending asking this question to anyone about you, because you may not want to know the answer to that. So he's like, "Who do people say that I am?" And they replied, "Well, some say John the Baptist, who had recently been beheaded, and some thought maybe he had come back to life in the form of Jesus. Others say Elijah, who is an Israelite prophet who lived 900 years before Jesus. And still others, one of the prophets." See, in the first century, reincarnation was a very common belief. "But what about you?" he asked them. "Who do you say I am?" And Peter immediately answered, "You are the Messiah." Now, some of you may have thought that Christ is Jesus' last name. It is not Jesus' last name. Christ is a Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah, which means anointed one. For hundreds of years leading up to the first century, ancient Jews were waiting for God to send his promised anointed one. So Peter goes, "I know who you are. You're the anointed one, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior that we've all been waiting for." And Jesus goes, "Bingo, right answer." And then Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. The disciples are going, "I thought that's what we're supposed to do." And Jesus says, "It is, but not yet. It's not time for everyone to know exactly who I am yet." Well, once Jesus' closest followers correctly identified who he was, he began to teach some deeper truths about himself and in turn what that means for being one of his followers. Verse 31. "And then he began to teach them that the Son of Man," that would be him, "would suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law," who are the Jewish religious leaders, "and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again." He's like Jesus going, "Hey, you're following me now because things are good, but things aren't going to stay that way. Let me tell you some things that are going to happen to me very, very soon." And he spoke plainly about this. And Peter, who just one moment before had recognized Jesus as the Messiah, took him aside, away from everyone else, and began to rebuke him. It's like Peter goes, hey, Jesus, can I talk to you for a quick second? Like, takes him to the side, like, hey, don't go all negative on us. Like, things are good. Look at the crowd. You're famous. I'm famous. Don't go messing that all up, Jesus. And what do you mean that you're going to be arrested and killed? That can't happen. You're the Messiah. You walk on water. You heal people. You raise dead people to life. You calm storms with just one word. You can't be killed. So Jesus, let's go back over there. You know, you talk about prayer or something positive, but no more of this death and dying stuff. Like, that wouldn't be good for you. It wouldn't be good for us as your disciples. It wouldn't be good, Jesus, for me. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, and then Jesus did to Peter what Peter just did to him, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan. He said, like, wow. Like, he came out of the gate strong. Get behind me, Satan. And then listen to why he was so harsh with Peter. You do not have in mind the concerns of God. And you guys, this is such an important statement from Jesus for many of us who claim to be his followers. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Say, hey, Peter, let's be honest. You've enjoyed following me up to this point because it's been great for you. You've seen, experienced some amazing things. People know who you are, don't they, Peter? But right now, you're not acting like a disciple of mine. You're not acting like a follower of mine. Right now, you're acting like a consumer who's in it for just what you get out of it. Peter, you've just exposed you're not nearly as concerned with God's will as what happens to me as you are about what happens to you because of what happens to me. So, Peter, you're going to have to make a choice. If you're going to be a consumer or if you're going to follow me. But Peter, you can't choose both. And then Jesus decided to use this as a teaching moment for everyone and revealed the fine print of following him from that point forward. And just real quick, many of us have done what Peter did. Many of us have identified Jesus as the Messiah. We've put our faith in Jesus. We've asked him to be the forgiver of our sins and declared that he is our Lord, declared that he is the leader of our life whom we follow. So what Jesus said next is for you and is for me. Then Jesus called the crowd. There's the apostles and then there's the crowd. Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, he's like, gather around. Peter, front and center. All right, listen up. Whoever wants to be my disciple, means follower, must deny themselves and take up their cross. And this word scared Jesus' first century listeners to death. Take up their cross and, here it is, follow me. Jesus said, hey, being one of my disciples who experiences me, who experiences a life-transforming relationship with me, who experiences everything I want for you, who experiences all the benefits of that I came to give you requires actively following me. And that means from time to time, you are going to have to deny yourself. There's going to be times that God's plans, his desires, and his will are different than our plans, our desire, and our wills. And at those intersections, we have the choice to either be consumers of Jesus who care more about our concerns than the concerns of God, or followers of Jesus. In order to follow Jesus, according to Jesus, we will have to deny ourselves, our greed, our selfishness, our self-indulgence, our will, our wants, our ways, our impulses, what we think we deserve, by saying no, 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 no to what we want in order to say yes, 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 yes to what he wants. Jesus goes, hey, furthermore, and I don't want you to be surprised about this later, so strap on the idea that in order to follow me, you will have to take up your cross. And we don't understand the magnitude of what Jesus was saying like his first century listeners did. To us, a cross is a romanticized symbol that we put as jewelry around our neck, or we get tattooed, you know, big on our chest or something. We've never seen and we've never smelled someone crucified on a cross. If we did, we would have to leave the room. But Jesus' first century listeners passed by crosses all the time. The Romans put people on crosses to be crucified all the time, and then they left them up there to scare people into submission. Being crucified on a cross was a horrible, horrible, horrendous way to die. And Jesus is saying, hey, you need to know that if you're going to follow me at some point, it is going to cost you something. For some of you, it's going to cost you your life. Now, you have to know, what Jesus was saying to them was very literal for them, because of what was literally about to happen to him. Jesus was going to literally be arrested and literally be crucified on a cross. And they knew if they followed behind Jesus too closely, that that would be literal for them as well. The great news for you and me is no matter how closely you follow Jesus, none of us are literally going to be crucified on a cross. Following Jesus will cost us something, but nothing like it would cost them. Which is why Jesus' words scared them to death. I mean, they're starting to feel like following Jesus was just too costly, so they're getting ready to bail out. So before anyone took off, Jesus told them, and he tells us why following him when it costs us to do so is so worth it. He goes, it says, whoever wants to save their life. That's me. Real quick in here. Who wants to save their life? Raise your hand. Yep. That's why you go to the doctor. That's why you try to eat good. That's why you exercise. Jesus is going, whoever wants to save their life. And everyone's going, that's me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. No matter how well we eat, no matter how many days we exercise, no matter how many environments we stay away from, no matter how many bad habits we break, no matter how hard we work to save our lives, we all know that one day we're going to lose our lives. Jesus continues, whoever wants to save their lives will lose it, but whoever loses their life, which at some point we all will, and then Jesus adds these two important words, for me and for the gospel, will save it. Jesus looks at that first century crowd and says, whoever chooses to follow me and in the process of following me loses their life that you're going to lose at some point anyway, will actually save it. And once again, losing their lives was very literal for them, not so much for us. So in 2025, if Jesus was standing up here and he'd gather us all together and said, hey, whoever chooses to follow me and in the process of following me loses something of value, loses a relationship, loses financially, loses a job, loses playing time on that team, loses what they believe will give them hope and peace and fulfillment, loses anything that you're going to lose someday anyway when you physically die, is actually saving their life. And Jesus said, listen, I know this all sounds scary, but you need to know the life you're trying to save, you're going to lose at some point anyway. But if you lose it, and however you define it and all the things that go with it, because you chose to follow me at the fork in the road when it cost you, when you had to say no to you and yes to me, you're actually saving and finding true, you're actually saving and finding true life with me in this life and in the next. And then Jesus was actually just getting started with this. He then asked two questions that if you think you have a soul that's moving on to something after this life is over, even if you're not sure what that something is, that I hope you wrestle through. He says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit or have to pay or give up or trade in or lose their soul? He's like, hey, if you had the opportunity to gain the whole world, whatever that means to you, all the cars and all the money and all the houses and all the girls and all the fame and all the accolades that you could ever want, all the stuff, by the way, that you can't take with you when you die. If you had the opportunity to gain the whole world, but in the process, you'd have to forfeit your soul. You'd have to give up, trade in, lose your soul being with your heavenly Father in the next life. Would you do it? Would you want that? And all of his listeners are going, No, it's no good to forfeit your soul for any amount of anything in this life. And Jesus continues. Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? This is if he's going, hey, hypothetically, let's imagine you're on your deathbed. And at the moment before you die, you realize that you forfeited your soul for eternity. In that moment, what would you give? What would you trade to get your soul back? And all of his listeners are thinking, everything. All. Because I'm going to lose it all anyway in just a second when I die. And Jesus is going, okay, let me get this straight. You think it's no good to gain the whole world and forfeit your soul? And they're going, that's right. And you would give up everything you have to exchange for your soul. And they're like, yes. Well, here's what you just discovered. You just discovered that your soul and the health of your soul and what happens to your soul and the destiny of your soul is of greater value and is worth more than anything and any relationship and any amount of money and any discomfort. And come on, hear me. When you and you and you and you and me, when you truly discover this, when you truly believe this, your life is going to be dramatically transformed. It's as if Jesus is going, hey, before you bail, because it seems too costly to follow me, you need to know that following me is really not that big of a sacrifice as you think it is, as long as you value your soul more than anything else. Following Jesus will eventually cost you something. And it's in that moment you're going to have to make the choice if you're going to be a consumer of Jesus or a follower of Jesus. Jesus' invitation to you and me is deny yourself. Say no to you and yes to me. Take up your cross and follow me. The reality is, even though following Jesus will eventually cost you something, it isn't that big of a sacrifice. It's really no loss at all because you'll eventually lose everything anyway. And you and I have an opportunity to give it up, to surrender it all in such a way that it transforms our lives today and impacts our souls for eternity. You and I have the opportunity to deny ourselves now so we don't lose ourselves later, so we don't lose our souls later. And then, here's how Jesus concluded this inspiring little speech. If anyone, that includes the people right in front of him, that includes me, and that includes you. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man, talking about himself, will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the heavenly angels. In other words, if any of you who claim to be one of my followers becomes ashamed to be associated with me by not denying yourself and taking up your cross and following me when it gets tough, when it costs you something, then I'll be ashamed to be associated with you when I return someday. And that someday is a day the writers of Scripture talk about a lot. A day in the future when Jesus physically returns. A day of reckoning when we'll all give an account to him for our lives. A day that followers of Christ will enter into Jesus, it'll physically enter into Jesus' presence in God's kingdom for eternity, and people who choose not to accept Jesus' invitation to follow me, well, will not. A day we'll see that for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for Jesus will save it. Jesus is not interested in attracting a crowd of consumers. He invites us to be his followers. And the fine print is this: salvation is free. It costs us nothing. Following Jesus will eventually cost us something. Being saved from the penalty of our violation of sin against Holy Creator God that broke our relationship with him. Being forgiven for our sins. Having the broken relationship with our Heavenly Father restored and reconciled and redeemed in this life and the next. Eternal life is free because of Jesus' death and resurrection. It costs us nothing because it costs Jesus everything. Jesus paid the price that we could not pay ourselves. There's nothing that we could do to earn it. All we have to do is accept it by putting our faith in Jesus, asking him to be the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our lives. And once again, if you've never done that and today you feel a prompting and a stirring and like, I just feel like I ought to do that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that before I walk out of here today. Salvation is free. But following Jesus, it will eventually cost you something. Eventually, following Jesus is going to cost you what you want for what he wants. It's going to require you say no to you and yes to him. And it's in that moment you're going to have to make the choice if you're going to be a consumer of Jesus or a follower of Jesus. You will choose one, but you cannot choose both. In that moment, it will feel like a moral imperative, like a right or wrong issue for you. In that moment, you're going to feel this deep, like, conviction down in your gut, and like, I can't believe it, and I feel like I ought to do this, and that's, I would have never even felt like I should. This is something I feel like maybe God's putting on me, that if I'm going to follow Jesus, I can't go, or I can't participate. If I'm going to follow Jesus, I need to stay, or I need to leave. If I'm going to follow Jesus, I need to move out, or I need to stop doing this, or I need to start doing this. I need to sign up for, or I need to take this next step. It's in that moment when you have to decide, when you have to decide if you will deny yourself and follow Jesus, or if you will be a consumer. And it won't always be an easy choice, because in that moment, it's going to feel like a death, the death of a dream, what you want, a relationship, an opportunity, security, safety, getting ahead financially, immediate satisfaction, what you feel like you deserve, your reputation, something you're not sure how you could ever live without. That's why in that moment you're going to ask, is it worth it? Is following Jesus really worth it? And that question is the reason why if in that moment you decide to deny yourself, to say no to you and yes to Jesus, to take up your cross and follow Jesus, it will be a defining moment. Listen, I'm assuming the reason that you put your faith in Jesus is because of the benefits. That's why I put my faith in Jesus. It's because of how you believe it will benefit you. You need to know, we don't get the benefits of following Jesus in this life and in the next by being consumers of Jesus. The only way that you experience the benefit of your faith and your trust and your confidence in God growing, the benefit of growing in your relationship with Jesus, the benefit of being more transformed into everything God's created you to be by Jesus, the benefit of experiencing the power and presence of Jesus in your life today is by following him one next step at a time. Salvation is free. It costs us nothing. Following Jesus will eventually cost us something. Christy and I, we've been married this year, it'll be 25 years, so which just means we're getting really, really, really old. We actually met the first day of high school. We never dated in high school. We're just best friends all throughout high school. And I can remember in high school when Christy put her faith in Jesus. It was an awesome, awesome day. And after that, I can remember when she just really felt this conviction and this stirring. Like, in order for her, she's like, to follow Jesus, she's like, I'm supposed to wait to have sex until I get married. Like, I think that's what Jesus invited us to do as one of his followers. And so she made that choice. And that choice cost her. She dated two of my best friends in high school, and both of my best friends broke up with her because she wouldn't have sex with them. And then I saw many guys choose not to date Christy because they knew she wouldn't have sex with them. Listen, salvation is free. It costs nothing. But for Christy, following Jesus got her this. And that's why, that's the moral of the story. I just like wanted you all to know that. Sorry, I wasn't in the notes earlier. I just thought of that, right? Salvation is free, it costs nothing. Following Jesus will eventually cost us something. When my kids, my two daughters, they played club volleyball. And you know how club sports are. They are God. Oh, you laugh, but they're your God if you have them. Because you will sacrifice everything financially for it. And it dictates your time and how you spend your time. and where you'll spend your time. So yeah, that's what a God does, just so you know. But when my kids played club volleyball, all these games are on Sundays. And what we decided as a family, like, it's more important for us, for what we prioritize on Sunday mornings is coming together with our church family and worshiping and serving. And so we sat down as a family and said, that's what we're going to do. We're not going to go to volleyball games on Sunday mornings, and we'll tell your coaches. And so we made that decision together. And that decision cost them. It cost them playing time. It cost them ridicule from their friends. It cost us ridicule from other parents, because sometimes their team didn't have enough players to play the game and they had to forfeit because this is where we were instead of there. Salvation is free. It cost us nothing. Following Jesus eventually cost us something. 10 years ago, one of my really good friends, not a follower of Christ, not a part of Relevant, he's actually one of my Reach Ones, I'm doing a great job, evidently. He got in a really bad spot financially, and he came to me and he said, Ronnie, I know this is crazy, but I was seeing it, can I borrow $10,000? Now, and he said, I'll pay you back within 3 months. Now, I don't know what tax bracket you're in, but in the tax bracket that I'm in, I just don't have $10,000 sitting around that I had not decided what to do with. And so I had $10,000, but Christy and I, because we've made the decision never to be in debt, this is money that we had saved up, so that when she needed another car, we had money to pay for cash for a car. So I had it at my disposal, and because I loved him, and he said he'll pay me back in 3 months, I lent him the money. And then 3 years later, he still not paid me back a dime. And I was getting mad, and I was getting bitter, and I was getting ready to give up on this friendship. And him and I were going to be meeting one afternoon. And so in the morning, I was praying we're going to be meeting in the afternoon, because I was going to tear him apart. And as I was praying for this, I just felt God impressing upon me, forgive it and let it go and never bring it up again. Forgive it and let it go and never bring it up again. Forgive it and let it go and never bring it up again. And I did not want to say yes to that. But that day, I made the choice to deny myself, and it cost me. And 10 years later, I've never brought it up, and I've never seen a dime of it. Salvation is free. It costs us nothing. Following Jesus will eventually cost us something. And the outcome of what every decision that cost us something has in common is our faith, our trust, and our confidence in God growing. I said a few weeks ago, as trust goes, so goes the relationship. So as our trust in Jesus grows, so does our relationship with him. And once again, talked about this a few weeks ago, that's the ultimate reward. That's the ultimate benefit of following Jesus. Because the more we grow in our relationship with Jesus, the more he transforms us into everything God's created us to be. And the more transformed we are, the more we experience God's power and presence in our lives. Salvation is free. It costs us nothing. Following Jesus will eventually cost us something, but it's worth it. It's worth it because whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for Jesus will find and experience the life of Jesus that can only be experienced through a growing relationship with Jesus. So let me go back to the question that I'm challenging all of us who say that we put our faith in Jesus, I'm challenging to wrestle with throughout this series is, are you following Jesus currently, actively? If you truly want to, you'll know when the moment comes. You'll know this is the moment I can't say yes to Jesus and me, that I have to say no to one of us. And for some of you, you're in one of those moments right now. You've been feeling Jesus leading you and stirring you and prompting you and convicting you to take a next step to follow him, but you haven't, but you've been hesitant. You've rejected it. You've ignored it. You've stuffed it down. You've said no because of what it may cost you. This is the moment where you're going to have to make the choice to either be a consumer of Jesus or a follower of Jesus. So let me ask you, how is Jesus inviting you to deny yourself, to take up your cross, and follow him? In the future, you're going to tell one of two stories. Story one, I couldn't say no to me, so I said no to Jesus. Story two. I couldn't say no to Jesus, so I said no to me. What story do you want to tell? The answer to this question, it may cost you something today, but it's worth it. This is a defining moment in your life. This is a defining moment in your faith in God, either growing or eroding. This is a defining moment to grow in your relationship with Jesus. This is a defining moment in the transforming work that God wants to do in your soul. Salvation is free. It costs us nothing. Following Jesus will eventually cost us something. Refusing to follow Jesus will ultimately cost you a lot more. If you're new here around here at Relevant, you need to know we take communion in two places. The first place we take communion is we take it three times a year all together as a church at this environment that we call Encounter, which is a night of extended worship and communion. And then the other place we take communion is within our T-Life groups. T-Life group leaders, tune in real quick to me. I want to encourage you to lead your T-Life group into taking communion together this week. After you lead your T-Life group in remembering that Jesus literally denied himself and then literally took up the cross and sacrificed himself on it for you and for me, take the time to have everyone in your T-Life group honestly answer this question. Take the time this week to do that, because this question is more important than anything else that you're going to talk about in your T-Life group this week. I promise you. Take the time. Because the answer to this question is how the people you're shepherding in your T-Life group go from being consumers of Jesus to being followers of Jesus. Pray with me. Jesus, I just want to praise you and I want to thank you for denying yourself and taking up that cross and sacrificing yourself on it for our benefit. Lord, as people who have accepted that, have accepted your grace and your mercy and your love and your sacrifice, I pray that we choose to follow you by denying ourselves and taking up our cross. Whatever the outcomes of that is, Lord, that we got to leave in your hands. But I pray that as your followers, we choose to truly follow you. Lord, for every person, Jesus, who's never put their faith in you, never asked you to be the forgiver of their sins and leader of their life, Lord, if today, if right now, they feel a prompting and a stirring, they feel ready to do that, I pray that right now, quietly in this room or in their homes or wherever they're at, that they choose to pray to put their faith in you, that right now, they confess their need for a Savior. They declare, Jesus, that you are the Savior. And right now they ask you to be their Savior. They put their faith in you right now and ask you to be the forgiver of their sins. And they declare that they want to follow you, Jesus, as the leader of their life. Praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
If today you prayed to put your faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, today is a really special day. And we love to celebrate with you by giving you one of these Relevant Bibles. All you have to do is text the word Jesus to 55444, and we'll get one of these Bibles to you in the mail, along with some information to help you take your best next step in following Jesus. Also, we believe that life happens best in community. If you live in Elkhorn or the Omaha area and you're not part of a church, we'd love to have you join us for one of our Sunday gatherings. You can find out more about Relevant and what to expect by visiting our website at relevantcommunity.org. Thanks again for spending part of your day with us, and we hope to connect with you soon.